Now on Radio 4, a new series of the Environmental Programme, for which you set the agenda. Here's Richard Daniel.
Hello and welcome to Home Planet, the programme in which we tackle your questions and concerns about our environment and the natural world. Well, joining me to discuss these and other questions are Dr. Ros Taylor from Kingston University, Dr. Nick Riley from the British Geological Survey, and the biogeographer Professor Philip Stott from the University of London. Welcome along to all of you. Mention the word arsenic and you might think of a murder mystery whodunit, rather perhaps than some pressing environmental problem. But there are parts of the world where just drinking the water can expose you to arsenic poisoning. Michael Young in South London has contacted us about arsenic. He's read a report about problems with it in Bangladesh and he asks, how does arsenic get into the water supply? Well, first of all, I think we need to be clear, Nick Riley. What is arsenic? Because I've read that it's metallic, semi-metallic. What is this substance?
It's an in-between substance termed a metalloid. It tends to substitute for sulfur in minerals. So it's very commonly associated with fool's gold, iron pyrites and other pyrite minerals. And you find iron pyrites in all sorts of settings, in mineral deposits. You find it in coals. There's a substantial amount of arsenic associated in coals, which is why some of our old industrial coal gasification sites are arsenic contaminated. For instance, where the Millennium Dome is now built, that was contaminated land from gasification of coal.
But in terms of geological prevalence, pretty much anywhere?
No, there are certain parts of the world which have more prevalence, and again, it's related to geology. Southwest England, for instance, in the UK. But there are large deltas where large deposits have been laid down rapidly since the Ice Age, like the delta in Bangladesh, but also the one in Hungary-Romanian plain there, and parts of China, parts of South America, and parts of the US.
Philip Stott, can you explain what does arsenic do to you if you ingest it?
Well, two things. First of all, what we might call the dramatic one, and also then the slow effect of arsenic. Now, the dramatic one is terrible because it massively disrupts the digestive system and actually leads to death from shock. You begin with a headache, then light-headed feelings, then violent stomach pains, then vomiting, and then delirium. It is a very nasty death, but in smaller doses, of course. Over time, building up, it can lead to skin cancers, lung and bladder cancers, also associated with nervous system problems and diabetes.
Ros, explain, how does it then get into water, into water supplies?
Well, I think we need to start at the beginning. I mean, first of all, you've got the issues of weathering, erosion, transport of material, and then you will get leaching simply out from soils as well. But the real chemistry of how arsenic gets into water is actually quite complex. Nick was referring to a pyrite, it's an arsenopyrite, and if this becomes exposed to a mix of moist and also oxygenated areas, well, then you will find that acidity is released from that, and that will mobilise the arsenic, which means that it can then be leached out into water and will contaminate the water supply.
What then has happened in Bangladesh that listener Michael Young mentions?
Well, in Bangladesh has been a very particular problem. As Nick has said, there are the huge accumulated sediments. If we go back, say, 30 years, in rural Bangladesh, you got your water from the surface areas, which were above the main zones of sedimentation. And the problem there was bacterial contamination with water. So around the 70s, the World Health Organization went in, sunk in deeper wells. And the deeper tube wells, very narrow, 15 centimetres across and quite straightforward to put in, tapped into these deeper sediments, not ever so deep, down to about 100 metres. And these were the ones that have turned up to bring up water containing arsenic to the surface.
And this is a huge problem, isn't it?
Millions
upon millions of people affected.
Absolutely. And one of the big issues was they never tested the water, so they didn't know. They put it in, no bacterial contamination, so great. And as people have kept on using it, there are now some estimates say 20 million people affected, others go much higher than that, though the number of deaths at the moment is a bit lower than that, and must be offset against deaths of young children from bacterial waterborne diseases.
Briefly, yeah. Ros, is there any way around it? I mean, there must be an easy way of testing for it and mitigating against it, is there not?
Well, no, testing for it is not that easy, actually. It's certainly not that easy for people of only medium technology out in the field in, say, rural Bangladesh. Mitigation, you need an alternative clean supply of water. And one of the other big issues is that the level, which can get up from the safety threshold is, what, 10 micrograms per litre, 10 parts per billion. Bangladesh uses 50, which is the old standard, but you're getting levels at around 1,000 parts per billion. And it's not easily detected by, you know, field technology. That's the problem.
Well, let's move on now. You're listening to Home Planet on Radio 4. Now, don't forget our website, where you can find more information on some of today's topics, useful links as well. Log on to bbc.co.uk/radio4/homeplanet.